Well, you know, 67 years. Wow, that's awesome. But, you know, we wouldn't know what love is had God not put it in our heart to begin with. True? Scripture says right there, it's perfect lead-in. Thank you for the segue. I appreciate it so much. Scripture says in 1 John 4:7. In fact, there's a song that they wrote about this, 1 John 4:7-8. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. And he that knoweth not God, knoweth not God, he doesn't know love, for God is love." I'm going to have you look in your scriptures here and keep going. He says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." In other words, you didn't notice there, it says that we might live because of him, but we live through him. See, without Jesus Christ, all you really have is existence. You don't have life. You understand that? And who here just wants to exist? Nobody. Who here, when you were grown up, says, "I just want to grow up to be average. Average. Below average." Nobody does. We want to be above average. We want to thrive. And we want to live. That life comes through Jesus Christ. So John goes on to say, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first. Parents, think about this. Really think about this. When did you fall in love with your child? Truly, when did you fall in love with your child? Did you not first fall in love with just even the idea of having a child? And then didn't you not look at your wife's stomach and say, "I love you, little one. Whatever you are, male or female, I love you." And then for some reason, when this child came out, you felt a type of love. I guarantee you, you felt a type of love that you've never felt in your entire life. Not even towards your own spouse. The woman that gave you this precious new life. Because there's something special in that brand new life. That you just are drawn to it right away. Because he said that he loved us first. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And says here, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God will dwell in him, and he in God." Notice it's a two-way street. "And we have known and believed that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. For there is no fear in love." Did you guys get this? If you have love, you have no fear. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and that he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, then he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has never seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Pretty strong words, wouldn't you say? But pretty poignant. You don't really think about that in order to love your fellow man, you have to first love God. And that means every man and every woman. And the thing is, God made us with different personalities, did he not? For the analytical person, being around somebody that's expressive probably drives them crazy. True? Anybody? You know the guy or the gal that is so flighty they can't concentrate on anything? They're just bouncing off the wall all the time. And the analytical just wants to take them and set them down and say, focus, just for a minute, focus on the task at hand. Likewise, what I call the driver personality, the type A personality, the one that if you need something done, you give it to him and he's going to, or she's going to delegate and dictate and get everything done, just bam, bam, bam. They're the sergeant or the marshal, true? And then you pair them up with the person that's just easygoing, doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and they're like this. They don't have the patience, the understanding. They want to get it done now. Pastor gave us a project to do, let's do it. But God made us in His image in all different ways. See, because our love that we have inside of us, its beginning is from God. We are never, ever closer to God than when we love. You understand that? It's what it says there. It says there in the very beginning, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. So if you know somebody, do you not have to get close to them to get to know somebody, to talk to them, walk with them, find out who they are? So when we love, we get closer to God. We find out what He's like. We become a reflection of God. That's the wonderful part about it. Which would you rather be known as? A hateful person or a loving person? A spiteful person or a helpful person? A person that always puts people down or a person that lifts people up? Which do you feel better being around? If you know somebody's going to put you down, do you like to go around that person? Not usually. You go, oh, I got another family reunion. I got to be around Uncle Bob. He tells jokes nonstop, and I'm in the butt of every joke. And now this year, I'm 30 pounds heavier. Oh, what new jokes are going to come out now? You start to anticipate it, don't you? You ought to have an Uncle Bob. Everybody does. Or Aunt Kim, whoever it happens to be. Why? Because they tend to try to make themselves feel better by putting somebody else down. But when we love, we become God's reflection. And when we love, the very life that we have comes to life. There's just something that shines in us when we start to love the way that God loves us. And guess what it does? It makes us kin to God. It makes us like Him all the time because we have to dwell on that love. And since God made us in His image, remember back in that very first book of the Bible, it's called Genesis? When He formed us and molded us and shaped us and made us in His image and breathed life into us, He created us to love. That is the purpose that God created you. Not to serve, but to love. You cannot even serve God lest you love God. It's not like going to work. Who here has a job? Come on. Some of you are going, who here has a job? Come on. Raise hands up. How many of you have absolutely loved going to work every day of your life? You wake up in the morning going, I can't wait to get to work. 7 days a week. Yeah. That's what I thought. Why? Why isn't the word work one of those nasty four-letter words? Sometimes it is, isn't it? How many of you here think, I can't wait till Monday? Why do you think we say TGIF as opposed to Hallelujah Monday? We even come up with the commercial. Remember that? Hey, Mike, what day is it? Mike. It's hump day, right? Wednesday, you're looking forward to Friday because it's the last day that you have to go to. Is anybody awake out here? Work. But you see, why? Because you don't have a burning, passionate love for work. Do you love work the same way you love your spouse? Do you love work the same way you love your child? Do you love work the same way you love the Lord? I hope not. I really do hope not. But you see, when God comes into our life, God wakes our spirit up. God causes us to have a love like Him. The work that He calls us to do, we love it. Why? Because it's called of by God. And we want to serve Him with every ounce of our being. He doesn't say, now, okay, you are a new Christian, young lady. Your job this week is to do this. You don't do this, you come back, wham, you get whipped. I'm going to dock you a week's pay. God doesn't do that to you. He says, okay, let's take this again. Take two. Take three. Take 1,472. Until you finally get it. But all that we do, we operate through the realm of love. And therefore, since God is love, man has to also love. Well, the second thing we realize about the love of God is that it carries with it a double relationship. It says there that it's only by knowing God that we learn to love. And it's only by loving that we learn to know God. It goes both ways. The more you love God, the more you learn about God. The more you learn about God, the more you love God. It's like it's a circle, isn't it? It's amazing. It also says in that scripture that when God dwells within our heart, we learn to love Him. And when we love Him, we come closer and closer to Him. Well, how can I dwell even closer to Him if He's already loving me and we're close? Again, you dwell with Him, He draws closer. You draw closer, He dwells with you more. Just when you think you can't grow in love, guess what you do? You grow in love. You ever hear somebody say, just when I thought I hit rock bottom, I couldn't go any lower? I did. You ever heard somebody say that? It's not the wind. Come on. This is an interaction time. Some of us say, just when I thought I'd hit the bottom, I met somebody from the IRS. True? We all have known people like that. Maybe they're sitting in the pew that we're sitting in. I don't know. But it goes both ways. We never know the full extent of how much we can do when God is in our lives. You just don't know. You don't know until you get to that point and realize there's still more that God can do with me. And why does that happen? Because He loves you. He would probably freak you out if He showed you what His total ultimate goal for you was. You'd go, "Woo! There's no way." You'd start putting up every blockage that there was. But Lord, I'm not this, and I thought that. I don't do this good. I've never done this before. Before you started becoming a farmer or worked in wherever you work, you probably never did that before. I one time never once drove a forklift. I can operate a forklift like crazy now. I once never spoke in front of somebody in my entire life. I can talk to somebody for 20 minutes now before I find out they're deaf. You laugh, but it's true. Some people say, oh, you were born to speak. No, I wasn't. I had to learn. I had to learn how. Lord had to give me training. I didn't just step up to the plate one time and start speaking to 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 people. I remember my very first communications class in college. I had to give a 5-minute speech. I was never more nervous in my entire life. I would have rather gotten up and pitched in front of a crowd of 60,000 people against Babe Ruth than have to speak to that 20 people in my speech class. Why? I'd never done it before. But you see, God started preparing my table way back then. I look at the things I've done in my life, and because of God's love, He started setting the table in my life with many, many things that I started eating and partaking of. I had no clue at the time that that's what He was doing. True? Who here can look back and see, now you can see clearly where the hand of God was in your life. But when you were going through it, you were like, well, this was a new experience. Hello? Say hello to God. That's what He does. Because love comes from God, and God leads you to Love comes from God, and God leads you to love. There you go. The next part we realize about this scripture is that it is by love that God is known. It says that right there in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is made perfect. Because God is spirit, who here can see a spirit? Please don't raise your hand. That was a rhetorical question. We can't see a spirit, can we? Even when Moses stood before the burning bush, did he see God? No. He felt the essence of God through the burning bush. He heard his sound of his voice, but he did not see God, for no man has seen God. So if he is only a spirit, we have to be able to be sensitive to sensing God. The wind's blowing pretty strong today, right? Do you actually see the wind? Or do you see the effects of the wind? Do you see electricity? Or do you see the effects of electricity? Can cause things to go into motion, lights to come on. Can lead us places. It can kill you if done improperly. Or it can make your hair curly. We can't see God, but we can sense the effect of God's love. If God made man in order to show his love and have love, we see God's love manifested through people. Is there a story in the Bible that you see where the love of God was not manifested through somebody? Why did he have prophets? Did they not come to tell the love of God? Whether it was repent or you're going to be destroyed? What enemies today say, you know what, let's go tell them first, here's exactly what we're going to do if you don't surrender and do this. You don't tip your hand in war, do you? But God came and he told them time and time and time and time and time again, turn back to me. Keep your promise to me. And I will forgive everything that you've done. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you. And even when he reproves us, he does it out of love. Why? Because he doesn't want us going down a path that leads to destruction or a path that leads to death. When we see our own child start to get into drugs, do we not try to reprove them so they don't continue down the path of drugs? We know where drugs go. Drugs lead to one of three places. It leads to destruction, it leads to jail, or it leads to death. We know that. So we talk to our kids, counsel with our kids, show them the show Intervention. I hate that show. Honestly, I really do. Because it just drives home what we have gone through as a family. For somebody to have a drug addiction problem, to think that the drugs do not have an effect on anybody else but just them, they're fools. Drugs have an effect on everybody that surround them. Their children, if they have children, their parents, if they have parents, their brothers and sisters. Why? Because we love them and we want the best for them. When God sees us going through whatever it is that we're going through in life, an addiction, a relationship problem, sexual deviation, you name it, God wants to love us out of it by having his love come into our lives and heal us. That's what the love of God is about. You can't dwell in the love of God and have a lust for the world. It's impossible, because God does not have a lust for the world. We saw God's love demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ, did we not? God took his son, Jesus, let him be born of a human being to take the form of a human so that he could display what his love truly was all about. That was the purpose of Jesus. Besides dying for your sins, to show you the love of God and what it can do in a person's life. When we see Jesus, we see two things about the love of God. Number one, it doesn't hold anything back. Wouldn't you say that? Jesus didn't hold one thing back from us. God sent Jesus in order to die for us and to do the ultimate thing, to sacrifice his own love. Which leads us to number two. It's a love that we totally do not deserve. How many times, you don't have to answer this, just in your own brain. How many times have you nailed Jesus to the cross? How many times have I nailed Jesus to the cross? How many times have I looked at the cross and said, you idiot, you did that for nothing? Because we go on and on and on and on, continuing to do the things in this world that we think we should be able to do. Even if you took away all the gifts that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Holy Spirit, do we truly deserve them? No, we don't. Why? Because we are who we are. But God loves us anyway. It's amazing to me. I wondered when He first called me into the ministry, and I still wonder why. Why me, God? Why me? Why do You love me so much? Why are You so patient with me? Why do You have so much understanding? And why have You blessed me so? And His answer is simple. Because His grace abounds to all who will receive it. It is not for a special elite. It is not prejudiced against race, against creed, against height, against education, against social economic status. It is freely given to all. That's what the love of God is for. And our human love is a response to His divine love. Just as a child loves his parent or his caregiver, whoever it happens to be, it is only because first that parent or that caregiver loved the child. If you, women, if you gave birth to a child and then gave that child away, that child would never know you, would never love you. You might still have a feeling for that child in your heart down the line, but you would never experience the love of that child. I thanked my wife last night. She looked at me and gave me the strangest look. Because I looked at her and I said, honey, let me set this up. You know the problems and the situations that we have with my one son, Randy, that is schizophrenic because of drug abuse. And I looked at her last night and I said, honey, thank you. And she goes, for what? For burying your son, Randy. Now she really gave me a strange look because she knew the problems that we had. She goes, why are you thanking me that I gave birth to Randy? I said, because without Randy, we would not have Annabelle. God's love comes through real messed up places. It goes through it. It destroys the messed up and creates something beautiful. Every day I take a look at my granddaughter and I am just in awe. I fall in love every time I see her. That wasn't even in my notes. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, our love is a response first to God's love. Because we love God only because He first loved us. And we experience that love. And it says in there that when you have love, fear goes bye-bye. Who here can honestly say fear is no longer one little ounce of your life? There's nothing in life that makes you fearful. If you can't say nothing, you need more of God's love. You need to let it grow more in your life. Because fear is a product of lack of faith. And faith is the product of love. If we have no faith that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, then people will live in fear of judgment, will they not? But we have no fear of judgment. Yet some of us have fear of death. Have no fear. I'm not going to do the other part, for Underdog is here. I'm not going to say that part. But have no fear. God is with you always. All we have to know is that when we know God and His love, all fear is swallowed up. The other great thing about it is that you have man and you have God. And the two of them will always be connected. Always. The love is the DNA that binds you. Just like you have a child's DNA, they have yours. If they took that child's DNA, they're going to match it to you. And if not, boy, you got some explaining to do. They're going to match it to you. They're going to match it to your grandparents and to the great-grandparents. Our love connects us to God. So what does love explain? First thing it does, it explains creation. You ever ask yourself, why did God put himself through this? Why would God create a world with people in it that has caused him so much grief? You ever asked yourself that? I've asked it. Why, Lord? You knew what was going to happen. He wanted somebody to love him. He wanted someone to love and to love him back. And you might say to yourself, well, he had the angels. Oh, but the angels are there. The angels don't have something that we have. That's called the free will. God wants us to love him because we want to love him. Husbands, wives, why don't you fall in love with 1,500 other different people? Because you found the one. You chose to ask the one. Think about the men or the women that you dated, the boys or the girls that you went to a movie with or whatever. Why didn't they become your husband or your wife? Because you had not found the one. Unless we love, unless our love is a free response, it's not a response at all. I hear people say, well, how come God allows bad things to happen to good people? Why does God allow children to be shot on drive-bys? Or this wonderful person to be killed in an accident? Or a four-year-old to get leukemia and pass away? Anybody other than me hear somebody say that? I've heard it. We can't have a God that's a God of love if he allows those things to happen. Well, if God did not allow things to happen, he would have to take away your free will. And I don't think you want that. God didn't put it in that person's mind to drive by the house and shoot that 9-year-old dead or that 18-year-old. God didn't tell the 22-year-old to go rob a bank and they get killed coming out of it. God says that the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. Man comes up with these ideas. We live in a world that is cause and effect. We have things surrounding us that we've created that cause things to happen to our bodies sometimes. Our bodies were not made perfect. Only the love of God that lives us is made perfect. But our bodies aren't. We can't go around blaming God for bad things to happen if he also gives us the ability to have free will. In other words, you can't have your cake and eat it too. One of the other things that the love of God explains is our redemption. God could have left it up to man to just live by the law, couldn't he? Just live by the law, and if you failed living by the law, you didn't get eternal life. But he didn't do that. Because he loved us so much, he says, every man and woman and child will fail. It's like trying to always follow the speed limit. Who here has never broken a speed limit? Oh, you lie. You really shouldn't lie in church. I don't care if it was on purpose or by accident, because the law is the law. Negligence of the law is not an excuse for breaking the law, is it? Ever tried to go to court and say, well, judge, I just didn't know. It doesn't work. Believe me, I've tried. It doesn't work. We will all fall short of the glory of God if we try to live by the law. And God knows that. So he sent his son Jesus. He did so because he loves us. And he wants us to have a fellowship with him beyond this life. A fellowship. That's why it explains redemption. That's why it explains providence. In other words, care. Why God continues to care for this world. We say it's going to hell in a haybasket. And a New York second, not a New York minute, but a New York second. But God still cares for the people that are in this world that love him. And it also explains everlasting life. Because if God didn't love us, he would have just created us, watch us flounder around just like any other animal, and then pass away. The scripture says that God loved us so much, so much, that he gave us his only begotten son. And all we have to do is believe on him. Believe on him, and we will not perish. But we will have everlasting life. And that is done because of the love that God has for you. Draw close to him. Dwell with him. Let him dwell with you. Experience the love that God has and what it can do in your life to take away all fear, all doubt, and let yourself grow, always first and foremost in his love.